things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 15 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And, well, you know, we got to do it. We promise to do every game, even if they're not good.
At least now we know we're not making the playoffs, you know.
Whew, that weighs off.
Having that slim chance, you know, you can't give up on it. But now we know Packers 17, Bears 24, and Packers season begins and ends with the Bears.
Yeah. So. Yeah, as far as the playoff season and hoping to win, kind of, excuse me, Minnesota cold. I skipped through watching the game today because I don't have your memory. I need to revisit the game. We're recording on Tuesday. Of course, the game was on Sunday. And it just was like we went backwards. We reverted to before our win against the Cardinals.
Against the Falcons?
The Falcons, I'm sorry.
We got beat by the Cardinals.
I felt like we had good momentum. We had energy. We were hitting. We were really looking like the Packers that we expect. I felt this. I don't know why they wouldn't be fired up for the Bears game. Yeah. I didn't feel that same.
I don't think it was so much fired up. I think it's the same issues in execution we've seen throughout the whole season. Mm. You know, bad penalties at the wrong moments, the big plays in a game that you need to go your way we're not ready to, you know, capitalize on, and then just bad miscommunications and breakdowns in execution on offense. Yeah. Where, you know, you have a touchdown pass if MVS goes inside on that, you know, end zone route like he was supposed to. You have a touchdown to Jimmy Graham if he catches it, but instead it goes off his hands. Like, it's just a handful of plays that can make a game go one way.
Well, I agree with that, but I just felt like intensity-wise, it just wasn't there. I don't know. That's why I kind of wanted to watch the game again today and just kind of seeing. You know, you can tell by the tenacity of the players and how they're flying around and going. But, again, unfortunately, and, you know, 17 points for the Packers, that's really kind of whatever. It wasn't, you know, they got a little bit at the end. I'm happy with our defense. We'll get into more specifics. I thought there were some good plays on defense. Bears are a good team. They're a very good team. They got a lot of talent.
Top-rated defense in the league right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so second season in a row, we're not making the playoffs. That's always a bummer. But looking ahead to next year, there's going to be a lot new next year. New pieces on the team, new coaches.
New special teams coach.
New special teams coach. Rodgers wants to play, says he's playing against the Jets. Do you think he will? Do you think he should?
I go back and forth on it. I like the idea of you wanting to, you know, get the momentum. I don't know how much momentum they're going to get if they win their next two games. I don't know how much, you know, it's kind of like at the end of the year, if you win your last six, you can feel really good about it. Okay, we feel like we got things turned around. And you got to weigh the cost-benefit ratio. He's been playing hurt, I think, all year since that Bears game. Mm-hmm. And he's had multiple. He pulled something, his groin or something, and when he did that heave, that Hail Mary pass, in this game, I think it wouldn't be a stupid idea to sit him.
If I was the coach, I would sit him, or the front office. Kind of what you're going to with the, you have to weigh the costs and benefits. You know, the cost of sitting him, or the benefit of playing him, let's start with, is best case scenario, you know, you right the ship, you look good in your final two games of the season, then you go into the offseason.
Sure. Feel a little better about yourself. You beat the Jets.
Worst case scenario is a major injury to Rodgers. But even, you know, a level below that, even a not major injury to Rodgers, where he's had two injury-plagued seasons in a row now,
right,
or three if you count this season, so that's three in a row.
Yeah,
he's been dealing with injuries. That could limit the head coaches that will come to the Packers.
That's a really good point, too.
Because we have probably the biggest bargaining chip in the league right now to get a coach that we want,
mm-hmm,
being, you know, a lot of talent, and then Aaron Rodgers. What more can you ask for as, mm-hmm, a coach coming into a team? But if we have another injury to Rodgers and it just seems like that's going to be an issue, I could see that affecting a coach's decision to come to the Packers.
Well, wouldn't it affect you? I mean, if you would definitely, you're looking at it, well, what's his name for the Browns, their quarterback?
Their quarterback, Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. I mean, you look at him, young kid, showing a whole lot of promise, leadership, mm-hmm, and then you got Rodgers, who's 35. Supposedly doesn't always play nice with the coaches from what you listen to. So, yeah, I definitely could see where a coach with that would weigh on their mind if they should. And I'd like, mm-hmm, to see what Kaiser can do. You know, now we can find out, do we still want to keep investing in this kid? Or do we find somebody else?
Yeah. So I think the benefits are there. They're not nearly as high as the cost could be, though. So I agree.
Okay.
I would sit him. Let's move on to coaching.
Okay.
I don't have a ton to talk about with coaching, partly because, you know, that's not really what we need to focus on anymore in the season.
That's true.
We can talk about Philbin, but there's almost, I would say, zero chance he'll be there next year.
I hope not.
I really think he would have had to, you know, win out, mm-hmm, make the playoffs, and win a Super Bowl to even get a chance.
You think he had to win a Super Bowl?
I think he had to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. I would say if he would have won out and got into the playoffs, possibly two wins in the playoffs, he would have had the gig.
I don't think so.
That was, you really shook your head, too. You meant it.
I don't have any issues with the play calling he had this game, though. I think, like we said, you know, right off the bat, or I said, not to put words in your mouth, but it just, execution has, mm-hmm, been such an issue all season,
mm-hmm,
that we're doing the things we want to do, we're just not, you know, completing it, making
right.
it happen.
Right.
It's like we can't take that final step. So that's really all I have about Philbin.
as far as the play calling, I think that it hurt when Jones was out after the first
quarter.
Oh,
it definitely did.
So, I mean, that I think that could have really changed the game for us because, gosh, this kid was looking so good. Williams came in, and he's not the same.
No. Our offense revolves around the two Aarons at the moment.
That's true.
And when you lose half of them. Petten, I was, again, happy with the way he called this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially with just the injuries we've been dealing with. You know, even look at our line. We're missing both Clark and Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to hold the Bears, who are a good offense, to 24 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Likely could have been 17 if not for that punt return.
This is the second time, a little bit more. Obviously, we've played the Bears twice. Trubisky. Yeah, Trubisky.
You've never quite been able to say his name.
No, I haven't. It's like just that coach for the ex-offensive coordinator for the Vikings.
Mitchell Trube. Just call him Trube.
Trube?
You can always get to that part of his name, so just stop there.
Well, I can do Mitchell.
We'll make it a nickname.
Okay.
We'll pretend it's a nickname.
Okay. he's going to be good. I didn't realize how big that kid was and fast.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He can definitely make plays with his feet, which is, you know, part of what I thought was even more impressive by Pitt in this game, that I think he had three scrambles for yards this game, Trubisky did. And so when you have that threat, and then you also have, you know, they're one of the best running teams mm-hmm. in the league right now. So, mm-hmm. like we said, we were down Daniels, down Kenny Clark. That's the interior.
Right.
You know, that's the strength of our defensive line. That's what we count on to stop the run. The Bears ran it 29 times for 97 yards. That's 3.3 yards per rush. That's an accomplishment to hold a team, a good running team, to 3.3 yards per rush.
Right.
And when you also have to worry about a mobile quarterback, that makes it all the more difficult.
I agree. And, you know, in years past, we never would have thought, whoops, sorry about the boom. Hit the boom. Sorry about the mic boom. Holding another team to 24 points, and we've got Aaron Rodgers. and we still lose the game. So that's tough. I mean, I know they're a great defense. They are a very good defense. We had chances. I like Pettin. I sure as hell hope he's back next year. Whoever, that should be part of the plan, whoever they bring in as the head coach, and say, hey, you can do whatever you want except for, and you got to get rid of Zouk.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see him staying. I hope he stays as well, just because it's been such a change in the defense that we've seen, and we haven't seen for a while on the Packers. I'm sure there's other candidates out there that could do as good of or a better job. But I like Penn. I'd like to see what he can do with a second, third year.
Yeah, with a healthy team.
With the defense, yeah, because this is his first year, when you think about it, with a banged-up team. And I think the chances of us keeping him are pretty good, because I think if we brought in a defensive-minded head coach, he'd probably be gone.
Right.
You bring in your guy, if that's the case. But I really think they're going to be looking at an offensive-minded head coach, like a McDaniels or something, partly because, you know, we can't get just any offensive coordinator we want. The way the league's set up right now, teams can block you trying to steal their offensive coordinator. So if we want a new offensive scheme, we kind of got to put that person at head coach.
I think that's what Zimmer did last year to DeFilippo. DeFilippo.
Yeah, he nailed him.
He blocked him, and then he fires him midway through the next season.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's going to be a big thing. I know not even offensive coordinators only, but I know, like, I'm blanking on his name, but the quarterback's coach for the Rams is a hot commodity right now as a potential offensive coordinator. But the Rams can block that too, because the only reason you can't block that is if, you know, he would be getting promoted. You're not allowed to block one of your staff from getting promoted, only if it's a lateral move. So all they would have to do is promote him to offensive coordinator, and they keep him. So I think we'll probably be looking at an offensive-minded head coach, which I think gives us a better chance of keeping Pettin.
Okay.
Long story short, I think we'll likely keep Pettin.
That's good. Oh, I hope so. I liked what he's done so far.
Long story short.
my feeling on it, too, with this game, as happens every one, he's called some really good schemes on certain plays, but the players don't make the play. Mm-hmm. They miss a tackle. They don't wrap up. And so, okay, let's get into the a little more on the offense. We talked about the bad execution, and here is Aaron Rodgers' numbers.
25 of 42. 274 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. He got the NFL streak for throws without an interception. It ended this game, however, at 402. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive. It was a tip ball that should have been caught.
Yeah, in the end zone, it hit off both of Jimmy Graham's hands. Maybe it was a little behind him, but that's still a completed throw. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't count that as a miss by Rodgers. And so he has two interceptions on the season so far. And in a season that has gone this poorly, to have your quarterback have two interceptions is crazy. Well, both of them are off tip passes.
Right. But he's also kind of playing the game a little bit on throwaways. He's averaging about one throwaway for every 10 passes.
I'm fine with that. I think more quarterbacks should do that.
Well, I'd like to see him throw it away sooner so he doesn't get sacked, because right now the Packers lead the league in third down sacks with 25.
Getting sacked on third down, you mean? Like, they're getting sacked?
They've led the league in that category in each of the three most recent seasons Rodgers started. The majority of the games, I got that from The Athletic.
Well, that's his MO. He's always been more willing to take a sack than throw an interception. And I think as long as Aaron's our quarterback, we'll at least be in the top five of that category.
Well, I'd like to see us move down a few notches instead of always being the one leading the league.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know we talked last week about how against the Falcons there weren't really any missed throws, and maybe, you know, getting back in a rhythm with McCarthy gone, but he did have some misses this game.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Especially some overthrows. Yeah. I think the biggest one was on that 3rd and 10 to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. 3rd and 10, just Marcus beats his guy, no safety over the top. If you hit him in stride, it's a
gone.
Touchdown.
Yep.
If you underthrow it and still get it to him, it's 40, 50 yards. and he just missed them.
Yeah, he had a handful of big-time overthrown guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that he's there's something going on. He's not right. So that's another reason why we want to keep him out of the next two games. And I know some people will hate hearing that because, you know, they want to see the best guys out on the field, but you got to think long-term, too.
Mm-hmm. And we also had that play where Equanimeous St. Brown ran a streak from the slot. So he's kind of in the middle, just to the right of the field. And you run to the open, you know, open area in the secondary. So he should have slanted it more to the middle of the field. That's where Rodgers threw it, and it got missed out. I think we've seen a lot of that, and a lot of plays that they look ugly and we don't know that's what happened. I think a lot of it is the situational awareness from the rookie receivers, because so much of our offense is built off of not necessarily going out and doing this route and then you're done. It's a lot of, okay, you start with this route, but then it's if this, then that.
Mm-hmm.
If this, then that. And I think we're seeing a lot of the rookie mistakes with that. And I, you know, hopefully they can really turn that around after another offseason.
Yeah, and I agree
and working
with
Rodgers.
That is an issue, that they're not always on the same page. And a lot of, you know, you should know better. You're supposed to go this way. And Aaron's really good at pointing it out on national TV. but I also think that Aaron is maybe not being as accountable to Aaron on some of his stuff, because he just doesn't look.
Well, and it, you know, if you have a tool that can't do a certain thing, aka the situational awareness, stop trying to use that tool for
that. Right.
So, you know, adapt to what you have instead of spending a whole season throwing it where they're not.
It'd be interesting with if they bring in an offensive-minded coach, if they tweak a lot of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that doesn't usually work right away. It takes a while for you to get used to everything because everybody's starting over. So
I think one of my biggest frustrations, too, with the receivers, and we'll kind of go into numbers more here with the receivers, but is that after Rodgers scrambles and breaks the pocket, we're not seeing the receiver scramble like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on our years where we were just a high-power offense, you have guys working to get open the second they see Rodgers break the pocket.
Right, right.
And even guys who have been there, like Cobb, it seems like they're not really trying to get off their block, get off the defender. We talked about hook routes. Go back to the ball. If Rodgers is scrambling, don't run around behind your defender. Run past him back towards Rodgers.
Right, right. Because they can't defend you.
That was a staple of the league for, what, 30, 40 years? What the heck happened?
Absolutely. And Rodgers had 5 sacks, hanging on to the ball too long. I don't know how much of that is him always looking for the big play. Maybe that's the play that's called. I don't know if he's changing it or what, but there's definitely some sacks that shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm. Another great game for Adams. He's just been
he had that on one catch
fire
on the sideline.
Yeah, on third down.
That was
gets the toes in, crazy fingertip grab.
Right.
And every game he seems to have at least one grab like that. I think if our offense can get any sort of rhythm next year, we're gonna have a huge year from Adams. He's already, you know, on pace, I think still on pace, to break the Packers receptions in a season record and yards. I think he's not very close to the touchdown record. I think he's at 14 right now, and Sterling Sharp has the record at 21 in a season. You can fact check me if you want, listeners, because I'm not positive on that one.
And by the way, thanks for listening. I know it's hard to listen to the podcast when they're losing, so
you're the true fans.
That's why we want you. So Adams had 8 catches for 119 yards. Just really a good game.
Yep. Not a huge game for any other receivers besides him, though. Cobb had 3 catches for 30 yards. He had a big drop in the fourth quarter at a time when they needed it.
Oh, right down the middle.
Kind of tried to bring the ball into his body, which we've seen a few times in the last couple weeks with Packers receivers.
It looked like he had it because the back was to the camera, and then all of a sudden you see the defenders just kind of pull off, and it's like,
yeah, I think we got excited when we were watching the game.
We sure did.
We started the season with, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling seemed like, of him and Equanimeous St. Brown, so many syllables. it seemed like definitely Valdes-Scantling was, you know, more NFL ready.
Mm-hmm.
And as the season's gone on, we've seen St. Brown kind of take that mantle from him. And this was by far the biggest discrepancy in snaps they've had in the season, where Valdes-Scantling had, or sorry, Equanimeous St. Brown had 42 snaps this game, and Valdes-Scantling only had 21.
Mm.
Besides all those snaps, though, 63 combined, neither of them made much noise in the receiving game.
No. And that's partly going back to your theory with the not situational awareness isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Aaron's not gonna do it.
Yeah, you have to earn his trust. It's been a frustrating year at tight end, again,
mm-hmm.
for Packers fans. It's been a lot of frustrating years, and it was really exciting thinking, you know, we got Jimmy Graham.
Right.
No way he can lay an egg.
Right.
He's a Hall of Fame tight end.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a bummer of a season with Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
He had 3 catches this game, but missed the big one. The one that went off his hands in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Became an interception and pretty much sealed the game and the season for us.
Right.
He does have the broken thumb, which has caused issues with his hands. But, you know, going back to last year, his hands and ability to catch the ball was in question. So, you know.
Do you think he sticks?
I don't think so.
You think I'll let him go?
I think he's gone. I think if he had been a key piece, we would have kept him. We would have paid the money. But because of the way he struggled, we get $6 million in cap space by cutting him. So I think we cut him. You know, I hope we look at a quality tight end. I know it's been a search,
mm-hmm.
but we do have a more aggressive front office now with the Goot. But really, we haven't had a quality weapon at tight end since the peak years of JerMichael Finley, and he still had stone hands.
Yeah, that's right.
So
how frustrating that was.
Yeah, he was just open, is the thing.
Well, and one thing that surprised me, I didn't watch Graham a lot but he sure seems like he's slowed down considerably, too.
Yeah.
I don't...
He's still a good route runner. He's still got some speed compared to a lot of tight ends, but he's not the player he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the reason we don't see the receptions we've seen from him in the past and the sure-handedness we've seen from him, because if, you know, certain parts of it start to go, it all starts to go a lot of
right.
the time. So, yeah, I'm hoping our tight end, you know, scenario. I was trying to think of a broad term for it, but I'm just hoping we see more of a weapon from the tight end position mm-hmm. in the coming season, because that's, you know, it's so utilized in the modern NFL.
Right.
You see the Travis Kelce's of the league just take over games. Like, look at how much the Patriots offense has struggled this season without Gronkowski being healthy. It opens up so much
mm-hmm.
and creates so many mismatches. You want to talk about running backs?
Sure. Unfortunately, Aaron Jones left the game early
mm-hmm.
and knee injury, and he was placed on IR today. So he is done for the year.
Yeah. Jamal Williams then was in for most of the game. He had 12 rushes for 55 yards. You know, we know what Jamal Williams is at this point. He's a solid running back. He runs hard. He does good at taking care of the ball, but he's not as explosive
right.
as Aaron Jones. He's not as patient and waiting for those holes as Aaron Jones. He's more of a one-cut guy. He'll get in there. He'll make his cut. If it's not there, he gets tackled.
I think he runs more like a fullback. And we've seen enough of Aaron Jones this year where he cuts and he can reverse the field and do all that stuff. Williams can't do that. But I think he's serviceable. He's fine.
He'll be a good backup running
right.
back
exactly.
when Aaron Jones is healthy next year. Offensive line is one of the areas probably my biggest concern going up against the Bears with
that.
Our banged up O-line and mm-hmm. their, you know, world beater defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it could have been.
Yeah, only 5 sacks.
I feel like that's such a, like, you know, Midwestern way of saying it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it could have been. Yeah, you know, Justin McCray had a horrible day week one against Akeem Hicks. Just got thrown around. He was in again this game against the Hicks again, and he only allowed three tackles and no quarterback hits.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you that the offensive line stepped up.
That right there is very impressive. Khalil Mack ended up with 2.5 sacks, but he definitely didn't take over the game by any means. He didn't probably change the outcome of the game. I think two of his sacks came from Rodgers holding the ball too long.
Right. Well, one of them, Mack kind of went backwards into him. Mm-hmm. He butt sacked him.
Yeah. And you also have to look at the fact that he was going up against Jason Spriggs, our backup tackle. Mm-hmm. So all in all, I was happy with the way the offensive line played.
And I think part of the Mack, I think the fact that he is such a good player that they really had to keep him on their radar at all times, and they did a good job with that. I mean, he still is a major factor on that
defense.
He's
a game record.
He's an incredible player. He really is.
And I know at the beginning of the season when it became headline news that Mack was available, Gruden's shopping Mack from the Raiders. And a lot of Packer fans were frustrated after the Bears signed him that we didn't try harder to sign him. But, you know, like we said, I think it wouldn't have happened. Because, you know, looking at it now, you kind of have to look back, hindsight 2020, and laugh. Mm. But the reason it came out that we likely didn't get Khalil Mack is we were willing to offer the same as the Bears, but they just assumed you go for the Bears because you get the higher draft pick.
Right. Right.
And now the Bears
Oopsie.
Are going to be having a pretty low draft pick, and we'll be, you know, upper middle, probably. But, yeah, he was the piece that kind of brought them from a good defense to top of the league.
Yeah, definitely. And are they fast. Mm-hmm. They are really quick. You see holes open up, and as soon as the running back gets right there at the line, boom, they're closed.
Yeah, not only fast, but cohesive. They know where to be. They know how to cover each other, and that's a big part of it as well. You want to talk defense?
Sure.
Packers defense?
Yeah. I think that's like the one bright spot we can really focus on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no Mike Daniels and no Kenny Clark this game. Daniels, as you guys probably know, is on IR. Kenny Clark missed the game with an elbow injury. Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster. I know I kind of beat up on Dean Lowry last week, but I thought they both played well this game.
I agree.
Looking at what they were expected to do against this run game, I thought they played really well. Like we said, they held the Bears to 3.3 yards per run. They dealt with the scrambling ability of Trubisky. I think the main area we really saw a difference is that the inside pass rush suffered, having them there rather than Daniels and Clark.
Yeah, and there was I don't know if it was their first touchdown or second one that the Bears had. They were down on the goal line, and my gosh, I could have run through that hole. I mean, you could just tell they totally pushed everybody off the line, and the Bears basically walked in for the touchdown. And so you're really missing some of your top players, but they can only do what they can do. So I think Trubisky's, since it's written here, I can read it.
You still said it wrong.
He really is just – I'm trying to think of somebody else. I mean, I don't want to use Rodgers, but just somebody who can scramble that big.
He's a Roethlisberger. Hard to bring down and can make.
He's built like a tight end.
He's not going to, like, beat you with speed, but he can make things happen with his feet.
He can spin. He's so strong that he can spin out of him and scramble. He's got a huge arm. So
is that where he should get a nickname from? Is that Big Ben? Massive Mitch?
How about Tubby Trub?
I like that better. Massive Mitch did not roll off the tongue. Martinez continues to be all over the field. For the majority of the game, he's usually our only inside linebacker. So he's kind of doing it all. He's quarterbacking the defense. And as far as that goes, you know, I think he's been a great leader on that defense.
I agree.
Making sure people are where they need to be and doing what they need to do. I think next year I would hope we see an improvement in, like, his block shedding. I think that's the main issue I've had with him this season, that a lot of times when he gets blocked, he can't get off the block. So I'd like to see that improve. Otherwise, you know, he's becoming a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. Makes the tackles.
Yeah, and I've been mentioning too, watching him, he has gotten quicker as far as reading the plays as the season has gone on. So he's not going to get any faster physically, but when you can do it mentally, it mm-hmm. makes up for it.
Yeah, and I think part of that too is just Pettine's system, getting confidence with the new defensive system. Mm-hmm. I think if we keep Pettine, we could see another step being taken by our defense.
Oh, I
year.
Hope so. Yeah, definitely.
Matthews had a sack this game, so possibly one of his last sacks as a Packer.
That's true.
I thought Kyler Fackrell, who's been very up and down this mm-hmm. season for us, but I thought he did a really good job holding the edge against the outside run this game. You know, when you have a team that's committed to running the ball like the Bears, that's you have to hold the edge, because if you let that up 2-3 times, they're just going to pound you there yep. and take advantage. So you have to be able to set that edge early. So I think that was huge for us. Mm-hmm. And then Alexander, as far as corners go, the rookie, Jair Alexander, I'm still very happy with his season.
Yeah, I mean, he does rookie mistakes, but, I mean, he's basically typically on the main guy. Mm-hmm. And so...
And only a handful of mistakes that I can really point to through the season. He played the ball early in the game against Allen Robinson, mm-hmm. missed it, and got beat for a 30-yard gain. But, you know, that's going to happen when you right. play the ball.
That's right. That's right. You want, if you got aggressive guys, you want them to be aggressive. Sometimes they make aggressive mistakes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was fine with that. I think cornerback's probably the most difficult position right now in the league to play, especially coming into the league, with the way rules are set up and offenses are set up. So I was definitely happy with the way he played. I'm trying to – let's see. Yeah, that's all I really got with Jair.
Okay.
Josh Jackson. I don't really know what happened with him. You know, we've seen him more and more as the season goes on. He had 40 snaps this game, and he tackled horribly. Couldn't tackle to save his life.
Well, and one of them, I just threw my arms up in the air, and I'm saying, now, why don't you try doing this? Yeah. Put your arms out. Like, he was just going to chest bump the guy.
Yeah,
or something.
He, like, dove into him and forearmed him in the chest, and he just bounced off
of
him.
Oh, that just drives me nuts.
But it did look like he got benched near the end of the game, so... I guess we weren't the only ones seeing
I'm happy to hear that.
We had, at safety, Tremont Williams and Josh Jones. You know, nothing of note with them, but they didn't let up any big plays from the safety position, which is what you want. Eddie Pleasant was also in at safety for a lot of this game. He missed a big tackle mm-hmm. On one play and seemed visibly frustrated, but then came back and blew up a screen play. So, happy to see that. You want to move on to special teams?
Sure.
Do you have any more on defense?
No. I think we've pretty much covered the defense as much as we can without having people, you know, checking out. J.K. Scott was a little off this game. He had a short, low punt that was 39 yards. And you know, part of this is on our coverage as well, but it allowed a 44-yard return.
Mm-hmm.
And to a guy, you do not want to give him any help at all. He's just fantastic with the ball. So. Mm-hmm.
And that ended up being a big part of the game because yeah. we had a chance in this game, and that Cohen's 44-yard punt return is what allowed them the field goal to go up by 10 in the fourth quarter mm-hmm. Instead of having it be a one-score game. So I guess what I'm saying is fire the Zook.
Fire the Zook. Hashtag fire the Zook.
You know, he shouldn't be on the team still the way the special teams has performed because there's mental errors every game.
Yep.
And you're only in there a handful of game or right. a handful of plays a game.
Right.
So I think there's zero chance he's back next year. I don't know why he's still here.
Well, you know, here this is my turn because I know you're typically the negative one. I'm always the positive one on the podcast. I did want to mention one positive thing with the special teams is the Bears faked a punt, which was a surprising call. We stopped it, were able to score right after that, and then got the two-point conversion to tie it up at 14-14. Felt like things were coming around, kind of moving our way.
Look at you, yeah. Positive Polly.
I've been working at it.
Happy Hannah.
Must be my meditation.
Joyful Judy. Julie. I'm out. I ran out.
All right. You got some more final thoughts?
Not necessarily about this game, but, you know, kind of with where we're at in the season now, looking forward to the draft. So we have two first-round draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like to see them go as far as the positions they draft for with those two first-round picks?
I just feel like it'd be, you know, maybe it's because I just watched Khalil Mack. I'd like to see us get somebody who can actually get to the quarterback.
A pass rusher?
We need to get some help with that.
So I think that's probably the number one answer. Like, if we sent out a poll to Packer fans, that's probably the number one answer right now. This definitely isn't the sexy pick, but I would go offensive line.
Yeah.
I would take a tackle who can play both tackle and guard to give us the depth. It's a pretty good draft coming up for offensive linemen, which doesn't happen every year, so I think we need to take advantage when we can. And then I'd like to see us get a stud tight end.
Yeah, I know. Are you feeling that way? I kind of go back and forth. Do we want to go the free agent route, the tight end again, or do you want to draft him and hopefully get him up to speed quickly?
I think we need to draft an athlete. Just
somebody who played basketball?
Someone we can turn into a tight end.
Yeah.
I would also, you know, this isn't going to be a first-round draft pick, but I would like to see us get a Tariq Cohen type, Darren Sproles type player, because we've seen every year that teams that have that weapon and use it right, it opens up so much in the modern NFL and gives you so many opportunities for different things that you can do. You know, it's kind of like if we would have seen Ty Montgomery reach his potential as a pass catcher. Since that didn't happen, quite obviously, he's no longer on the team.
Right.
I think if we looked at finding someone who could do that, it would really benefit this offense.
Okay. All right. Well, we got the game coming up against Jets on, it's going to be a noon game. If you were going to make a guess, are we going to be with Mr. Rogers, or is he going to stay in his own neighborhood?
I'd say he plays.
I think
I'd say if you had a head coach in there, that an established head coach that could really make the decision, he probably wouldn't play. But everything's kind of in flux right now, so I think Rodgers has more say than he might otherwise, and Rodgers wants to play.
Yeah, I would hope he's not. That's just, well, I guess both of our opinions. But you're right. I think that he could, you know, stomp his feet and lay down on the floor and throw a tantrum and probably get his way on that thing. But all right, just want to remind you on Voice Guy Next Door, if you need any voice work, you need some, just, you know, it doesn't have to be a real long, extensive. Sometimes people with their podcasts, they just need maybe an intro, an outro, a couple of lines here and there. Sometimes people like to do whiteboard videos. I can help you out with that. I also know people that if you need the video stuff done as well, I can point you in the right direction. I'd love to help you out with anything you need voiceover wise, including your phone prompts becoming more and more popular. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com. And before we announce the next thing, I need to apologize. Last week, I had one of those brain issues and glossed over the game ball.
Your daughter.
Yes. Very upset.
My sister was not happy about that.
Nope. So, texted right away when she listened. So what happened?
Is this your formal apology to Jenny?
I am apologizing to Jenny and all of our other fans across the world.
To all of Bleeding Green and Gold Nation, Mike messed up.
My hand is on my heart.
Sean takes no responsibility.
Are you ready for the game ball?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Okay, this is your pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about it because of the way he played, it was but he did break an NFL record.
Aaron Rodgers. 402 consecutive passes without an interception.
But he had twice as many sacks in that time.
I'm not necessarily looking at one game at the end of a 4-win season to determine this.
That sounds horrible, doesn't it?
It does.
4-win season.
When's the last time? Because
I noticed I kept doing
that. It has to be a while, because Rodgers, his first season was our last bad record season, and that was 6-10.
Oh.
Well, his first year as a starter.
Seeing, you know, they get the records when you're for the score at the bottom of the TV while you're watching the game. I'm looking at it, I'm like, 4 wins. Wow. Bring back the 80s.
14 seasons ago. We were a 4-win team. with Brett Favre. I don't know why I know that. Oh, because it was the season before McCarthy got there.
Okay, so congratulations to Aaron Rodgers breaking the NFL record. That is very, I don't mean to make too light of it, but that is a great mm-hmm. stat to have. So kudos to him. Now we can get into the serious stuff.
I'm closing the gap.
Yes, you are. One in a row.
So Mike, in our NFC North season picks is up by 5. Up by 6 last week. I'm running out of time, but I'm coming.
Shaking in my tennies.
So Mike picked Vikings over Dolphins. Got it correct. Sean picked Bills over Lions and Bears over Packers. Blech. Got them both correct.
Yeah, you did.
So you want to look at next week?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead. Do you want to go first or you want me to?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Vikings at Lions.
All right.
Vikings.
Yeah, I'll pick Vikings.
You'll pick Vikings?
Yeah.
Bears at Niners.
I got to go with Bears.
Got to go Bears.
Yeah.
Packers at Jets.
Who's playing quarterback?
How should I know, man? Just because I own part of the team doesn't mean I make
exactly.
these decisions.
I'll go with the Packers.
All right, I guess I'll go Jets just because I need to. Yeah. We need a different pick.
But
so.
you gotta get more than that because we've got two games coming up. All
right, so you picked Vikings.
Yep,
I'll take Lions.
Okay,
you picked Bears.
Right,
I'll take Niners. you picked Packers.
Yep,
I'll take Jets.
Okay,
so I'll only be down by 2 after.
You
next
know that
week.
Would be if you get this, we're gonna start doing that gambling online sports betting thing. You can do that.
I think I probably should have done this all season if I wanted to beat you, because I think the games, you know, we normally agree on, we get wrong.
Yeah, right.
It's weird how often we agree on who's going to win in a game, and then we're just completely wrong. Once again, showing we know nothing about the NFL.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Why
so
not have a podcast?
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's see if we can pull one out of New York. So until next week.
Go Pack, go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, Go Pack, go.